could be bad news for other if you're in a hurry. Hope not. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to, you know, I feel like you want me to stay where we're at regarding God is love. And just had me, and it came in today, all the acrostics from last week were still up here. And it's funny, I thought it was a blessing because the room was set up like right in the U, like it is and like it normally is for the class. And this was sitting right in the center of where, and I thought, that's going to be exciting, you know, when the class comes in tomorrow or whatever next day is, and here it is going to be sitting right up in the center when they all sit down, you know, and God is loved and different things here, and God is inexhaustible. And I didn't have the list, and I thought, you know, I'll just preach every one of these, and then whatever the repetition is would be all right. But I just was meditating about the Lord and His goodness, and I tell you, it sure is fired up my week, fired up my soul winning, and just fired up absolutely everything, and just even my desire to be pure and holy in the eyes of God, and desire, it's fired up my desire just to love Him. It's fired up my desire to separate unto Him more than ever had before, and just be the servant that He wants me to be. And Hebrews chapter 11, just want to keep reiterating the foundation. And number one, it's very important because, again, I believe you came here today because you want to please God. And God wants you to be able to do that. And Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And always remember, faith is not some confidence or emotion. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith really is just hearing what God said and trusting in it. And when we'll see in a moment, one of the very trick is always try to get people to doubt the faith, which is to doubt the Word. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible. So without basically knowing what God says and trusting in it, it's impossible to please God. So without knowing the Word of God and trusting what God says in His Word, it is impossible to please the Word of God. Also please God. It is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, God wants you to come. Again, quoting Matthew 11, verse 28, He says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Within this room, any given moment, there's people that are laden and heavy laden, and God wants you to rest in Him. But you won't come unless you believe that He is, and you won't come unless you believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So since we need to believe that He is, we want to catch the magnitude of the statement that God said in His Word, that God is love. Father, we thank You again for the Word of God. We thank You for the precious truths contained in Your Word. Thank You for the testimony that Brother Mark shared. And thank You for how that's all been possible by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of those that were involved. And we pray that the Spirit of God would move upon them, and that they would know Your great love, and it would lead them to repentance. What a great God You are. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And I think it was 7 for standing. If you'd like to look it up again, you can look at. I invite you to turn to Hebrews 13, since we're in chapter 11, where we're going to start. And if for rebuilding your own foundation, you'd like to look in 1 John chapter 4, where we already looked last week, and you'll see the statement that God is love. But as I look down through the Word of God, and basically, when you say God is love, basically every character attribute that God exhibits is a display of that love. And so as I think about God is love, I've thought about different things that you wrote up and different things that the Spirit of God put in my heart regarding God Himself. And just going to build another acrostic today regarding God is love that tells us about Him. And so hopefully, the more you think about the character of God, and the love that God exhibits and the love that God is, you'll come when He calls you unto Himself. Because everything about what we do, the Bible says in Proverbs, maybe 18, that through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Growth in anything and excellence in anything always demands separation. And that desire is what causes you to separate. And as you see the love of God, since we are flesh, that should give you a greater desire to separate yourself unto Him. And that's what real separation is about. Again, it's not necessarily about staying away from things, and though we should, but the love of God should cause us to be drawn unto Him. And again, by virtue of just going toward Him, the things of this world become more and more meaningless, because the greater the light, the less we see the darkness. Amen. And I wish God's people could understand that honestly, there really are some evil things out there. There are some things that we really need to stay away from. But if you'll just catch the magnitude of the love of God and really immerse yourself in Him, that fulfilling in Him will just cause you, well, I just don't need anything else, you know? It's kind of like when somebody cooks a great meal and you eat a lot and somebody tried to put something else before you, you think, well, why would I want that? Because I'm full. I'm filled, you know. And I mean, I think of different meals people cook for me. And, you know, after I've had home cooking, McDonald's loses all its interest. You don't want anything. I remember Elena Pasqua, first visitor of the church, and she brought the first time I ever tasted show pie and things like that, and Filipino food. I thought, man, this is good stuff. I'd never had it before in my life, and the different noodles, and I can't think of the name of the sausages that she boiled. And I thought, man, this is, I love this cooking, you know. And different times, different home cooked meals I've had, and different meals Bavon has brought to different fellowships. And when you eat those things, you know, all this fast food, people try to set it before you, and you see a commercial and you think, why would I want that when I can have home cooking? You know, and when, if you immerse yourself in the love of God, why would you want the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, or anything the world has to offer, which you know is not pleasing to God in the first place? But first thing I want you to take notice of the fact is since God is love, number one, God is loyal. God is loyal. And that is just a different way, basically, to express His faithfulness. But I want you to see something here in the Word of God. This is one of my favorite verses. In verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 is my verse, but it says, let brotherly love continue. And that's why it's good we just shake hands every now and then, because brothers, you know, kind of greet each other and act like they like each other. Amen. And brothers really don't have to act. They really do, you know. And so, let brotherly love continue. It said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. We should be kind to strangers. Be gracious to strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. That's a good verse as showing the love of people. When you see people in bondage, remember them as being bound with them. When I was sharing the gospel with that couple this morning, I was talking about it. I said, even when people reject Christ, I'm heartbroken because I remember that bondage. And I'm bound. I go to them and I remember what it's like to be saved and to be afraid to trust anything, whether it be Christ, whether it be another person, and you just, whatever it was. And many people, when they push away that gospel tract, many of them don't know anything about God. They're just afraid to trust anything except themselves. And I remember what that's like, to only to think you're the one, you have the everything rises and falls upon you. You say, I've tried that. I've tried to trust other things. I've tried to trust God before. I've heard people say that. And in fact, I got to him the other day. He said, I've tried trusting God before. No, I said, no, you haven't. You can never try trusting God. You may have tried to go His direction, but when you trust God, it works. And the Bible proof of that, and every life that really has trusted God, because the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It says here, remember them, again, that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, verse 5, here we see the loyalty of God. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That's good news. That's a pretty loyal person. You know how many people like and Lord, forgive me, but you understand how I'm saying this. Many people like dogs and animals because dogs are just pretty much loyal. They just kind of hang around and they just keep coming back. You know, no matter what you do, they'll just keep coming back. They demand so little, but yet they just somehow choose to be around you. I'm amazed at the little dog Daisy that we have. You know, I'll be gone traveling sometimes or gone and I don't feed the dog hardly. Well, I do sometimes when it gets missed. I don't hardly take care of the dog. I don't hardly do anything with the dog. But when I come, and I've been gone a while, man, that she comes and just like I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I'm not the only one in the family she does that way. But it amazes me because of the little amount of time that I actually do something with her and do something for her. And that she comes with that excitement, with that emotion, and whatever it is, a little tail wagging. And I think about myself, like in that way, God does everything to try to reach me when I do so little for Him. He's done so much to love me, so much to care for me, so much to express me. And even when I approach Him and spend so little time with Him, He never leaves me. Now, this is the message for the child of God, by the way. The writer of Hebrews, you're writing to people that knew Him. He said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That's good news. That's the way God wants us to love. And in verse 6, He wants to catch the confidence of this. He says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, I was meditating on verse 5. And I want you to think about this if you're a child of God today. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. I really wanted to preach today, what do you have? Because you know what many people that profess Christ, they would read this verse and they would say, well, what do I really have to be content with? And what they would immediately begin to do, they would think about their bank account. They would think about their earthly circumstances. They would think about their situation. They may think about where they live. They may think about their health. They may think about a lot of different things. And it's just like God would say, with a heart broken, me. Is that not enough? And God said, be. And He said, because He said, if you can't catch anything about me, will you please understand that I will never leave thee. And I'll never forsake thee. That's who God is. And knowing that who is God is, when He calls, knowing that there's that part of me that can't help but say yes when He calls me to come. And there's that part of me that says, keep coming, keep going back. And you know, just as we shared, you know, thank God for the joy that we had just by obeying God's command to pray. And to come together and to meet with the Lord, how the Spirit of God moved, how the fellowship with Him, and guess what? You know, the conversation was not amongst ourselves; it was to God. But isn't it amazing how it draws everybody together as our hearts unite and calling upon the God of heaven? I mean, praise God for that, and thank God the meeting was worth it. Just like every time we meet together, it's worth it because He's here, He's in the heart of the believer, and He never leaves, He never forsakes us. That's a good God. And when you know that, notice what verse 6 again, it says, so that we may casually, comfortably say, the Lord is my helper. That we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I was with that couple. We were talking about how the world is just captivated by fear. And they agree. It absolutely is everywhere all around us. People that say they're not afraid, they say that self to convince themselves they're not afraid. I remember when I used to run with a certain crowd. I mean, people would say, man, I ain't afraid of nobody. Well, why'd you have to say it if you're not afraid? If you're not afraid, you don't have to say anything. You just stand, you know. And people in that element, the guys you hang around with, they're just as scared and afraid as anybody else. All these people with guns, they're afraid. That's why they got to permanently get rid of their enemies, because they're afraid. And that's why we make permanent choices in our life when God wants us to just trust Him, because out of fear. We try to do things to permanently mar ourselves and permanently convince ourselves when God said, just trust me, walk with me. The presence of God and the Spirit of God is enough. You know, I was thinking this week, you know, God is good, mind you. And, you know, I was sharing this with one of my children, you know, how 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And I was thinking back in my life how I'm going to this meeting, and I think, man, I really hope this meeting changes me. And I preached it, and I've even prayed it. Lord, help us not to be touched, but let us be changed. That sounds good, doesn't it? In this service today, I hope you're not just touched, your heart stopped moving. I hope you'll be changed. But you know what? If you really are saved, you're already changed. Because if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. So you just need to live the new creature that you are. Sometimes we have our affection of looking at something and to do something, and it's already happened. It's like praying. I've been saved since 1993. I said, Lord, make me a Christian. No, God already did that. He made me one of His children. Let me live it, you know, and I just need to live out. Let me just obey. That's why this life is very simple, as trusting and obeying. That's what we have to do. We have to create anything new. And because of the fact that God is love, He never leaves us, that means the power and the presence of Almighty God is always there to help us to accomplish that which He wants us to do. Does it mean anything to you that God is here today? Raise your hand. I'm going to ask you an honest question. Now think about it. Think about it. Don't raise your hand very quickly. Did you come here today because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you came for Jesus' namesake today, raise your hand. Okay, I was already 1, 2, 3, 4. At least that, and the Bible says that where 2 or 3 have gathered for His name, that Jesus is in the midst. Now, there may be more. I just want to get to at least 2. Amen. Because that's all the Bible said. Now, if the Bible really is true, and if the Bible is true, now don't say unless you believe it. And that means that somewhere, wherever the midst of this middle of this meeting is, Jesus is right there. And so anytime we gather for His name, He will never leave. But people gather for sometimes religious names. But if you gather for the name, with above all names, Jesus in the midst, that means there's fantastic potential for the will of God to be done today. And that's what we're here for, right? The will of God. The reason we cometh to God, because we believe that He is, and that God knows better for your life than you do. And God knows better for my life than I do. And so I'm coming to God and say, Father, do with me what you want to do with me. And since you're in the midst, that means I can hear from you directly. And that's the confidence we have. It never leaves us. Now hold your place here. I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Just want to read you something about the presence of God, of how that it really means something. Because the thing of it is, if you don't find value in the presence of God, It doesn't really encourage you very much that God said He'll never leave you. And that's what, you know, in the world, that's why religion is so dead and empty, because many people never have been saved and felt the, and it really, it's a feeling, but it's also experienced the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them and recognizing that difference that God has made in their heart and their life. And they're still trying to live what they think is a new life with an old man. And that's why they struggle, and they're so frustrated all the time. If we really are new, and the Spirit of God is in us, live that Spirit, obey that Spirit. Now, in 1 Chronicles 16, in verse number 24, the Word of God says this, declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Now notice verse, verse number 25, He is to be feared above all gods. There was an article in the newspaper this week about some mother that beat her child, and I won't go into detail because it just, have mercy, Lord. But, and some people in the building where the murder took place, I think the child was still living, they said the woman was possessed of the devil. And I thought to myself about that. Now, the Bible says that he also is to be feared above all gods. And they, in fact, they put that quote in the paper, that something about how the devil made it happen. I can't remember what it was. And I thought to myself, how sad it is that even amongst God's people, people go around these streets and people got it, and they'll be afraid of people they think are possessed by the devil. I thought about that, and I got kind of happy. I was walking through there. I walked in the neighborhood, and I thought, I'm possessed by Jesus Christ. Woo! I said, the neighborhood better watch out. Amen. I don't care who's possessed. And I thought, if somebody comes around me today, I've got Christ in me. Amen. The hope of glory. Amen. And what happened? All God's people really began to realize that God is to be feared above all gods. Imagine how we would witness the next time we witness. And the next time that person possessed with the devil stepped our way, there would be no fear. We would think, man, they better watch out. Because God and Christ is in me, and they're one and the same. And he is to be feared above all gods. And when you catch the magnitude of the loyalty and the favor of God, that he never leaves, you think, man, that's love. That God would love like that. And you think, man, that's good to have that presence around. And I'm glad to know that at least two or three come for his name's sake. And I'm sure there are more hands. I didn't give you time to raise your hand. But that means Jesus is in the midst. And he'll be faithful to be in the midst of every single time. But let's break it down even simpler. If you're a child of God, Christ lives in you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so when he says, come a little closer, he can keep his word because he's loyal above all loyalty. And better than loyalty, he is love, because that's what love is. It is being loyal. And so when I call upon God, and because when I need help to be what he wants me to be, when I need help to do what he wants me to do, it's not like I have to, he's so far away I can't get to him. He's right here. He just wants to hear me call. And honestly, and the Bible talks about his ears open to our cry. And you know what the reality of that is? When a person cries out, you know they're serious. So it's not about how loud it is or how what it is. Sometimes, depending on the person, that cry does indicate they really are serious. So God's not necessarily impressed with the loudness of a voice, but he knows when we really want him and we really need him. It may be a slow, dull voice when you're crying out to God. Oh, God, help me. I need you. Or you may be walking somewhere and cry with a loud voice. Have mercy, Father. I need your help today. I was praying Saturday morning. After I said, Lord, give us this city. God, you love this city. I said, do something through our church where people will know that you are after the city. But do it in such a way to where they know it's you pursuing the city. Work through us, because we want to bring you glory, but we don't want the glory. Let you get the glory. It'd be good to have people walking in the streets praising God, talking about how good God is. It'd be good to see God overtake this community, and people see a bunch of people possessed with Jesus Christ. Amen. And people say, well, And people in this city would say, well, don't go down to Parkdale, God's there. Because right now people talk about living in Parkdale. They don't say the greatest thing about living in Parkdale. But wouldn't it be great if God's people got a hold, we got to reach people, and the next time we leave church, in fact, I talked to a guy this morning. He said, and his mother thought he went to church. He said, why would I go to church? I said, I've seen the people come out of the church. They come out, I mean, you try to say hi to them. They look bitter, they look frustrated. He said, why would I go to church? It just came out. In fact, I was passing out trash, and this lady was dressed nice, and I preach Christ to anybody. So I said, hey, can I tell you about the great love of the Lord Jesus Christ? And she took it, and she said, well, if I'm going to take something from your church, let me give you something from mine. And I thought, okay. Well, I know what to do with your literature based on the way you said that. Because right now I've got something by the grace of God that you don't have, and it's joy. Amen. And I thought, man, how sad. Because if I understand correctly, if the Bible teaching church, they just left from being where Jesus was in the midst. And I think that if I understand the Bible, shouldn't that be a good experience? Shouldn't it? Shouldn't it be, if Jesus is in the midst or anything right now, shouldn't we go out here and like, ooh, that was good. And because just by the, and you know what amazing, you know, life came to you guys just by shaking each other's hand, showing a little brotherly love. I was amazed just how a few smiles and things came out, and just by doing some simple, basic things that are Christ-like. It's amazing how they just changed complexity. I saw some smiles I didn't see before. I saw a little bit of laughter amongst a few people. And all you did was let brotherly love continue, which the first verse we read. You showed outwardly some of that Christ that was in you. Praise God for that, amen. And God is faithful, He's loyal, to always be in you in the midst. And let's read further here. I think we'll stop then. Verse 29, give unto the Lord glory due unto His name. That's why we want to show the love. Bring an offering. Come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Amen. May God rise up the same of the nations. No matter what you see globally, economically, politically, with the wars, the rumors of wars, say the Lord reigneth. Amen. He's alive and He liveth forevermore because He never leaves. He's loyal to His servants. And He is love, and love cannot help but be consistent because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He says here, verse 32, let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice in all that is therein. Then shall it... This is good. You all right, look at this verse. This is how good it is to be in the presence of God. Then shall the trees of wood sing out at the presence of the Lord. Amen. The trees lift up their voice. You know, I was reading... Did I write it down? I can't. Oh, Psalm 29, verse 9. It says that the voice of the Lord maketh hinds to calve. Hinds are like deer. And the voice of God causes basically the hinds to go into labor and the calves to come forward. You know, people that, what are the animal doctors, the veterinarians, they probably think and study their things like that, and how and time and all this. And all they think of all the hinds that are out here. And God said, okay, hind number 4,297 now starts going into labor. That's our God, amen. He's that powerful, amen. And He's faithful, He's present. He's present in the trees. Whew, God's here. I wonder if that's why. Sometimes, you know, and I don't know what it is, but it's something about when you go back in the woods and meet with the Lord. Now, you ought to try it sometime. You ought to get away somewhere and go out into the forest and start praying, you know. And I don't know what it is about being in the woods sometimes and just, you know, just something about God. I was walking through Christie Pits the other day and just walking through some trees and the other night praying. And I just had a time. Sometimes I'll go through Hyde Park, I'll bike down in there and get off the bicycle and just go and just start meeting with the Lord. And it just seems like there's something about being out in the woods. I don't know, but and maybe it's because they're saved. Because since I'm saved by the grace of God, and since He never leaves, when I start going through the woods, is it here? He's here. They're not saying Reinhard Harper's here. They're saying the Lord's here. and they start whispering the song, amen, and by the grace of God. And next time you go, start listening for Him to sing. Is it? He's here. If you're saved by the grace of God, the presence of God will go with you. That's our God. God is loyal. He'll never leave thee. So next time you're thinking, man, what in the world do I have to be content with? I hope you can say something more than just God. I hope you can say, man, I've got the Lord. So I may boldly say, He's my helper. God never leaves. He's always there. God is not only Lord, God is omniscient. That means God knows everything. I couldn't find an old word in the Bible to say God knows everything. That's one of those religious words we use, but it basically means God knows. God is all-knowing. See, omniscient. You can forget omniscient if you want to. Just remember all-knowing. That's the most important thing. Because you know what? You know the people, you think about this, the people that you're good friends, that love you, you know they love you because they know you. And it means something to you when you spend time with someone that knows you. And it's encouraging, you know. And when I call Brother Wheeler, when we're talking over things and ministry, it's encouraging to know that he knows me. And so he knows even how I'm going to respond possibly to different situations, because he knows me that well. And sometimes he's gone through something, finished a meeting, and I'll call him, or I'll send him a verse, because I know about day three where he's at after a meeting, because I know him. But better than that is our God that knows absolutely everything about us. Let's look at a few verses here. Psalm number 139. Because we said last week that, you know, love sees the needs of those that it loves, sees the condition of those that it loves. And you can't see the condition if you don't know it, you know. And part of, you know, and somebody tell me, what do they say is the greatest, the number one failure in most relationships? Lack of communication. Because somebody's not listening. And if you're a man, you have to listen and you have to look. And I don't mean that negative, because we have to listen, but we have to look for signs also. That's part of our call. We look for the signs. We listen. Because for some reason, women just don't want to tell you exactly the way it is. I mean, and men do the same thing sometimes, but I have to look at it from my point of view for a moment, so forgive me. And I don't mean that to be offensive. We are different, and it's okay to be different. You know? And we men have plenty of our faults and failures, trust me. And so I'm not counting it as a fault. But we listen to our spouses, and we look at what they're saying. When my wife tells me something, I'm looking to see if she really meant what she said. So you want to go here today? No, not really. Or no, would you like to do something today? Well, if you want to. And then you have to find out, what does that mean? and you listen a little further, and men, we have sometimes, women never get tired of their husband just asking them out for a date. Just say something similar. I would like to spend some time with you today. How could it be the greatest blessing? What would be the thing you'd like to do that we could spend time together? And then if they say, well, I'm just kind of tired, then you know you got the truth there. But listen and get to know. Some people like to do things, but they want to be asked to do something. In Psalm 139, that was free. I hope to help somebody. I don't know why I said it, but God knows. Oh Lord, thou hast searched me. This is David, Psalm of David, and hast known me. Boy, that's a good God. He knows him. And he still never leaves. You know, God searched every one of us, and he knows us. And he knows some things that we don't know about each other. Let me ask you a question. How many people, raise your hand right now, how many people would like it if we came to church every Sunday and your name was here and we could see absolutely every thought you had this week and everything you did this week? Who would be first to raise their hand? Who would like to have that up here? Okay, I just want to make sure. I'm not putting my name up there either, by the way. I just want to make sure. And so God knows that, and he still never leaves. He knows that. I mean, that's good news. That's love. I mean, that's real love. Now, how many? Can we be honest just for a minute? How many people, if that really was thought, how many people, be honest, if you think that some people in this room might have a little bit of difficulty spending time with you if they knew your every thought this week? I'll raise my hand first. Who else can be honest? Okay, amen. And so, because we're human, we're flesh, we're not like God. And thank God he sees all that. David said, thou hast searched me and known me, and he still never leaves. Thou knowest my down sitting, I'm looking at verse 2, and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Far from a distance, God knows what we're thinking. He said, thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. You know, God knows what I'm doing. He knows why I'm doing it. He knows the motivation why I'm doing it. Even if I'm doing something that technically is right, he knows why I'm doing it. if I'm really doing it for His glory, if I'm doing it out of fear of man, if I'm doing it just out of obedience by the leading of the Spirit of God, He knows that. And in verse 4 it says, there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Aren't you glad when you cry out to God, He knows exactly what you mean and understand? We talk about some of the communication difficulty between men and women. And, you know, my wife would say something, why are you yelling? You know, and I get passionate about things, you know, but she's like, but I'm right here. Why are you yelling? You know, and it reminds me that though I have a loud voice, my wife didn't have to hear it all the time. You know, I can lower it and speak softly to her and speak kindly to her. And not that I'm saying anything mean, but just the volume is a turnoff. You know, and so I remember those things. I listen, and God knows exactly what we mean when we say our tongue. And how many times do we, and men, we don't always communicate the best. We say something and we have to explain what we mean. Or sometimes we think we have to explain what we mean. And our wives have got it, our wives have got it 20 minutes ago, but we just told the whole book in leisure behind everything we said. That's what men do. You know? We give too much information sometimes. And so I'm trying to be balanced here and fair in my approach. Amen. So, but the Lord knows exactly what's in our tongue. He knows exactly what we mean. And He says, verse 5, Thou hast beset behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. And then in verse 6, it gets kind of good to David. He said, "Woo!" He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Can you imagine? He said, God knows everything. He said, this is just too wonderful. I just can't hardly grasp that God knows everything about me, my down city, my uprising. He searched me. He knows me. He said, I cannot attain this. In verse 7, he says, I'm thinking about it. He said, whither can I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me. You know, if you run from God, His hand will be still trying to lead you back home. I mentioned that last week, right? He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee. It's amazing how when you're trying to run from God, every return, He's still there. Try to silence conviction, it gets louder. You know, God will speak louder, make sure you hear Him. You know, the main thing about God, He can speak above the crowd. You know? especially if you're a child of God, and a crowd saying all this stuff running from you, that little voice somehow comes through, gets you. Turn around. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You know I'm talking to you. Turn around right now. The crowd is saying all this, but no, He said turn around. But He's omniscient, knows everything. Matthew chapter 10. Well, I'm going to read verse 14 first. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. That's Psalm 139, verse 14. So be careful what you do to what God has fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you perfect. And our society does everything to do to mar the perfect image that God has made. Believe God. Does God tell the truth? He said, I will praise you. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Are you fearfully and wonderfully made? Well, believe that next time you look in the mirror and trust God that He made something perfect. And leave all your inhibitions and fears behind. And forget about what Vogue magazine said and Cosmopolitan magazine said and what the world says about what makes you look good and what makes you look beautiful. And men, you forget about Men's Health magazine, what makes you look like a man and makes what you think you're a man. And you remember that God said you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and believe Him and approach Him, and you'll experience all the fulfillment and the completeness and the love that will give you the security that you'll actually like the person you see in the mirror. Because when you do what all these other things said, you'll never ever find rest and contentment. But you know what? You know, when you're around somebody you love, and you know they love you, you just kind of let your hair down. You just kind of hang out. That's what we say back home. And if we let ourselves be in love with God, we'll let ourselves be the person He wants us to be. Because we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and there's nothing better than doing what He said. Did I say Matthew 10? Let's go there. Matthew 10. Simple truth here. Simple, powerful truth. Matthew 10. Is the love of God good? Amen. Amen. Make sure you tell somebody when you leave. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, the disciple is not above his master. Matthew 10, 24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall he call them of his household? So they told Jesus he was a child of the devil. How much more are they going to call you if you actually live like Jesus? Fear them, not therefore. Don't be afraid of them. Why? For there's nothing covered that should not be revealed. Hey, we just heard it. They decided to secretly cover up. It was revealed. God protected his servant. And here, that shall not be known. He said, what I tell you in darkness, that preach ye in the light. And what do you hear in the ear, that preach ye from the housetops. You know, as I went in this morning, because I heard in a voice this morning when I got up out of bed, Jesus saves. And I heard in my devotions and reading the Bible that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. So I got in the light and I told somebody about that. When I was on the subway last night singing about Jesus Christ, it was because He's alive and that He really does live. And when the people walked by, I said, one guy walked by, you know, I just know how God must really bless. God was like, I don't know how far he was away. And I was singing about Jesus Christ. And him and his girlfriend walked by. They said, man, you have a beautiful voice. And I thought, there's no way they could have actually heard what I was saying. But the Spirit of God must have got their heart or something. Because they were just happy, amen. And just because he saves, amen. And God told me something in secret. And I decided to let it out in the light, amen. In the dark house. Now, I hadn't got on the housetop yet, but it might be soon. And it says here, and fear not, verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body. That's why you don't completely live for Christ. Because you fear what man says is valuable in this world, how you should live your life in this world. Now, I was thinking about when I was a youth pastor. You know, when the heartbreak when you pastor youth is, and really as a pastor period, but this is the situation unique to young people, and old people kind of too, but just because of the point in life. I looked at men and I prayed for them. My goal as a Christian was to go forward for Jesus Christ. But what Satan continually tried to do to the youth people, young people I pastor, was to try to get them to get on with their life. Do you hear the difference? It tries to continue to get them to get on with their life, and many of them make fearful decisions because of trying to get on with their life instead of realizing that they really are children of God. They gave that life away, and so they just need to go forward for Christ and let God work out the details of what their life is. People live in fear of what they're not going to have, what they're not going to do, what they're not going to get, instead of just going forward for Jesus Christ. And God, and a lot of it is because of just what they heard is the real meaning of life. They listen to what people in the world say means something, what's important. And they look with their eyes, and they try to determine, this is what I need, this is what I have to have. And they miss out on the love of God. That God will never leave them or forsake them. And God knows them, and since he'll never leave them, he's going to always have their best interest in heart. And so fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And by the way, older people like us, we look at our lives sometimes, and sometimes we get our eyes off God, and we think about what the world says. And does anybody think my life is really amount to anything? We say something like this: well, I'm such and such years of age, and I should not be doing more than this. Well, if you're such and such age, should you be doing anything more than loving God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength? Doesn't matter what happened in the past. We're talking about the day, you know, because forgetting, the Bible says forget those things that are behind. And reaching forth for the things that are before. Who's before you? Well, hopefully the love of God. Hopefully the Lord Jesus Christ is before you. Because the Bible does say looking unto who? Amen. The author and finisher of our faith. So the thing that's before us is Christ. And we reach forth for Christ, and guess what? Everything will work out all right. Doesn't matter what people think about what you did with your life. Reach forth unto Jesus Christ, and don't be afraid that when you meet him, you'll be like, "Ooh, I did the right thing. I continually reach forward for Jesus Christ. This person wasn't impressed, and that person wasn't impressed, but the one that saved me, what was that you said? Did you really say well done? I think about that lady we talked about in the testimony. Give the last 2 years of her life to prayer. And since the Bible says better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, see if you're going to look. See, just want you to see what I did with Charles Haddon Spurgeon. It's because you were faithful. You did a ministry that nobody else could see. And think of the hundreds of thousands of lives been changed because of you praying. Even if it had just been the 400 that got saved that Wednesday night by her praying 2 years ago that God would send a man. And then that day when she recognized God answered her prayer, pushed her food aside and went to the throne of grace. And she found mercy and help in the time of need because the meeting was dead and lifeless until somebody called upon the God of heaven. What's that song, When I Call on Jesus, what? All things are possible, amen. And because He knows, all things are possible. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for farthing? One of them should not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Christine, can I have one of your hairs? I'm going to go and just snatch a hair out of Christine's head. If I did that, God would say that's hair number 8,927 because He numbered them. Numbering is different than knowing how many. He said they're numbered. So if I go snatch a hair out of your heads, God said, well, that's number 4,197. Or that's number 2,198. Or that's maybe start at the beginning. He got number 3 here, not 1. God is omniscient. God knows everything. That's pretty amazing. And so if God knows me that well, if I have an empty moment in my heart, if I have a moment of lack of rest, if I have a moment of no peace, if I find myself away from God. I was preaching Christ to a lady that had been in this church several times, came here for a long time, several years ago. She's pretty much fallen. She was falling down drunk this morning. And I told her, God knows how to get you back. But you have to listen to Him. You have to obey Him. But since she said these words, she said, I've tried turning around, but the truth is I really don't want to. Because repentance, you have to want to turn. Because this God changes your heart. And many people say the devil this, the devil that, and the truth is they just want to stay right where they're at. That's why they're still in bondage of sin. And it has nothing to do with God's ability to move them. They really want to be where they're at. But, you know, it's like one of the corrupt message we've got from revival. Different stories we hear about the Spirit of God really moving and different things. And we think that God is going to come in, sweep them with revival, and take somebody against their will and make them do what they don't want to do. And many people, when they're praying for the Spirit of God move, you know, they're praying for God to come in and make them do something that they really don't want to do. When the Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. The Spirit of God will show you the love of God. I hope you see by the love of God today that God's a good choice. And I hope you see by the love of God today that God is the only real choice. Amen. And because that no one will be more loyal than God is. No one knows you like God does. And so if you're backslidden today, if you're away from God, if you're just brokenhearted or you're disturbed in any way, look unto Jesus. He knows you and He knows exactly what you need to turn your life back to where He wants you to be. And He knows the only thing that is going to fulfill you and give you joy because He knows you. Hey, when you're depressed or you're discouraged, people that really know you, they know how to bring a smile to your face. They know how to brighten your day. They know how to lift you up. They know how to encourage you because they know you. And God knows how to bless you. He knows how to strengthen you. He knows how to lift your life up. He knows how to give your life meaning. He knows how to give you joy because He knows everything. He has numbered all the hairs of your head. I mean, who would take time to do that? somebody that loves you. And when you start getting older like I do, he even knows which ones are turning gray. And he knows which ones are falling out for some. He knows where that hole is, amen. And he still says, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, every age, I think whatever age you are, don't be afraid of getting old, by the way. Is God perfect? So, think of what you're saying. Don't say it again. Don't repeat it louder just because. But you expect me to say it louder. But think of it. Is God perfect?
Yes.
Amen. So somebody believes it. So if he's perfect, then was age, getting old, your idea? But you can say that answer with authority. Surely, was getting old your idea? Oh, it was for some of you? Well, it's the young people, maybe they want to get older, but then they'll be saying, hold on. But whatever, if you're past that that 30 range, you may not be quite looking at the clock yet, but once you start passing 30s, you notice your body starts changing and things start happening, and you start, if you don't immerse yourself in the fact that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, you start getting fearful. But whatever age you are, thank God for it, because God is perfect. He knew that though that age, whatever you are, is that exact what you need to accomplish in your life what he wants to be accomplished. There's things at 45 that I can do that I could not do at 25. Most importantly, well, I just got saved at 25, but I'm saying even earthly speaking, there's things I can do at 45 I couldn't do at 30. Some of them are frustrating that I can't do. There's things I can't do at 45 that I could do at 30. But you know what? You know why that is? Because God has better things for me to do at 45. And he's trying to get my focus on the things that he wants me to do at 45. God is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows exactly why you're discouraged today. If there be someone here struggling in the faith, he knows exactly why you don't trust him completely. He knows exactly why you're fearful of loving him with all your heart, your soul, and mind, and your strength. He knows exactly why you wouldn't want to go through a situation like Brother Mark went through. And possibly he knows exactly why you went through something similar to that and you didn't handle it very well. Some of us, we didn't get to that point. We went places they didn't even know we were Christian because there was nothing about us that said we were. We were nice. We were pleasant. With nothing, no testimony to let people know that we're different because of Jesus Christ. I was witnessing to a man this morning after I finished talking with a couple, and I told him how long we've been married, and he goes, he said, I mean, it's bad, but he said, but the same woman? He said, all those kids, the same one? I mean, it's rarity. And I said, well, by the grace of God, yes. And I said, let me stop you, though. Let me be honest with you. It had absolutely nothing to do with me. It's all by Jesus Christ. And I quoted Ephesians 2:8-9, so by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because the only reason all the children, my wife and I, are ours that we made together, for lack of a better way to say it, is because of Jesus Christ. And I would be foolish to boast that it was something of me. It's just like right now, if you had $3 million and you gave me $1 million of it, and I walk down the street all smug after I leave you, and I say, I'm a millionaire, and start looking down on people. I said, what did I do to get the money? He said, well, nothing. So wouldn't it be stupid if I glorified myself as a millionaire compared to other people when I did absolutely nothing to get the money? So if I've done anything in this life good that could be considered good or valuable or esteemed in the eyes of people, I'd be foolish to take the glory from it because I didn't do it. God gave it to me. Because the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all a gift. Amen. God's omniscient. God is verity. God is verity. Psalm 111. Verity is a Bible word that means truth. Psalm 111. Well, a lot of times when you hear about love, what do you hear people talk about? What kind of love? Anybody with me? Verity is truth. What kind of love, maybe? True love. We talk about true love. And so, The best kind of love is a true love. In Romans, I think it says, let love be without dissimulation. That means that love be without pretense, without faking it. God is true love. It was, as Alexis shared the verse again, that God commended his love toward us. He didn't wait till we straighten our act out while we're yet sinners. He gave us his love. Psalm 111, verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. That points back to his loyalty. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The work of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. The works of God's hands are true. God, that's why God gave us the word of God, because it's true. That's why he preserved it, so we can trust and believe in it. You know, I think of the many years through the ministry and talking to people, how they doubt the scripture. I really wish the Bible said these things were written aforetime for admonition and learning. I wish many times God could have Eve come back and testify to people about what happens when you doubt what God said. Let's turn a different one. Turn to Genesis chapter 3 just for a moment. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Because since God is truth, I think I've said this before, but the reason a lot of people struggle in their Christian life is because of what they believe about the truth instead of believing the truth. Because the word of the Lord is right. Psalm 33 verse 4 says that. And when God says something, it's right. It's true. It doesn't matter what I believe about what he said, it's true. And if I just believe what he said, I'm okay. Because I'll bless the Lord. And I'll please the Lord. In Genesis 3 verse 1, the word of God says this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. So we see the first thing that Satan said, did God really say that? Verse 1, yea, hath God said, this is the serpent, did God really say that? Verse 3, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Second thing, God really didn't mean that. God didn't really mean that. First, Satan says, did God really say that? Then Satan says, God really didn't mean that. Then verse 5, it says, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Okay, God is keeping you from powerful knowledge. That's what Satan, God is keeping you from powerful knowledge. You know, one of the things I used to hear often when I was a youth pastor, children would say, and adults say this too, you know what? I just want to know it for myself. You know, I know some things myself because of sins I walk in. But I sure wish I did. I sure wish when God just said, hate evil, I just hated evil. Just never walked that in there. But there's things I know for myself, but it's better to know from himself. Because what if Eve, I mean really, what did Eve miss out? What would have Eve missed out on if she determined she just had to know for herself? She'd missed out on pain and childbearing. She'd have missed out on having to wear clothes. She'd have missed out on being afraid when the voice of God speaks. That's why it's hard to keep people in the Bible-believing church sometimes, because when the voice of God speaks, it conflicts themselves. And many still want to be themselves. And they don't accept the truth. What God made me say, well, Jesus said, he that loses his life, the same shall find it. That's part of his love, that God says what really matters, what really will give you life. He did say that I am come that you may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And since God is love, he's verity, he's truth, he meant that. And so he wants you to have the more abundant life. And he says the key to that, the secret of that, is you losing your life. And if you love your life in this world, you'll lose it. And Satan says, did God really say that? Really? Did God really say that? He that loses his life, the same shall save it. Did God? Oh, and if he said it, did he really mean that? And cross people hold on. And many have to find out. Some know for themselves. They've been everything they wanted to be. And their lives were so out of control. They had just as much unrest, just as much discontent, and were still fearful of man. You know, the great thing about when you really finally lose your life, you're free, man. Because since the one that has all power never leaves nor forsakes you, then you walk into the place and say, I don't care who's possessed, like we said, or the devil. I know who I'm possessed by. That's what makes a difference, amen. But you can only rest in that because God is verity, because God is true. Did God really say that? Did God really mean that? And Satan says, God does know that in the day you shall eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. God's trying to keep you from powerful knowledge. I just want to know for myself. I can picture Mr. Miller, they wanted to know for herself. And she did get to know for herself. And then finally, the last thing is, verse 6, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And last thing, disobedience looks like the best choice. After doubting the truth, questioning the truth, feeling like God's keeping you something, then all of a sudden disobedience looks like the best choice because God told him not to eat of the tree. And the Bible says the woman saw that the tree was good for food and to be desired to make one wise. And finally he says, I don't care what God says, this is what's best for me. It's good. So what God said was not good, now all of a sudden is good. And know what happened? They missed out on experiencing the love of God continually in ways he would want to show. Now, he never left them. But there was ways he could no longer love them because of the choices that they made. God never leaves, but we can keep him from showing us some love. Ladies, if your husband goes and buys you some wonderful gift, he can receive the blessing of it, or you can turn it away. A man, your wife can buy you something nice for your birthday, and you can receive it, or you can turn it away. You can receive that act of love, or you can turn it away. But always be true that they try to love you. God is truth. Truth will make you free. And that's what real love is. Love truly loves. And love, since it's loyal, I think others is up here, love is not purely concerned for itself, it seeketh not her own, said in 1 Corinthians 13. Then what love does, it's for others, it's for you. So what God told you, the thing that you say, did God really say that? Did God really mean that? lose your life and not find it. Bless them that curse you, pray for them to spite and use you. I sure would like to. I could handle this. I told you a story, and I'm going to go into detail, but when the guy made a scene phone call to my wife, is all I could do. Could not handle vengeance in behalf of the Lord. But it was the right choice not to. My flesh was saying, did God really say that? Did God really mean that? And I said, well, and I think, well, will he take God as seriously as he'll take me? All things the flesh says. But thank God I stopped listening to the voice. And I realized that disobedience wasn't the best choice. All of us in this room, we've made choices like that. We've questioned what God has said, and we said, God didn't really mean that. And we circumvented God's perfect plan. And we said, disobedience looks like a good option. And some of us, by the grace of God, we repented later, and we experienced the mercy of God. Thank God for it, again, because He never leaves us. We make bad decisions, bad choices, and then since God didn't leave us, His mercy was to rescue us from some of those disobedience times, just like Adam and Eve still had the opportunity to experience God and to come back when He called them. That's the grace of God and the mercy of God. But if Eve could testify today, I think she would say, God is truth. Listen to God. And that's part of His love. He's not just true to be true. He's true because He's love. You know, when you love somebody, you really don't want to lead them astray. One of the greatest heartbreaks of being and failing as a parent is that it can hinder my own children from trusting God. And one of the greatest heartbreaks, even as a pastor, in my affairs, they can hinder people from trusting God. And cause them to doubt the reality of God being true. Because even when I try to love, I'm going to love imperfectly because I'm not God. I'm going to fail in some time of love, and I've got to get back up and keep going because the judgment falleth. But I'm going to keep pursuing that perfect type of love. Because God is love and God is truth. God is verity. God's loyal to you. He'll never leave you. If you're saved now, if you're not saved, this don't really encourage you. Except that's what you missed out on. God, if you're not saved, God is calling you unto Himself so you can experience the peace and the joy of somebody never leaving you or forsaking you. Someone that really knows you. Someone that really understands you. Nobody in this world understands you like God does. I thank God, again, like I said, with Brother Wheeler, but he really doesn't understand me like God does. There's times that I'm brokenhearted and I'm struggling with something and I want to call him, but God says, no, call me. And you know what happens? I feel better. Because he said, call unto me, I shall answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And God keeps his word. Turn to Isaiah 61, we're closed. I'm not going to read all this so we don't have to rush out of here today. We've got more time. We did everything the Lord wanted us to do, and when He gives some time to fellowship, if you'd like to. In Isaiah 61, last thing I'll say is God is encouraging. God is encouraging. There's nothing, probably the greatest things this side of eternity, there are fewer things this side of eternity that are more encouraging, and it is just to know that you're loved. And God is encouraging. I want to see the very message of Christ, the very purpose of Christ in Isaiah 61. This is a prophecy regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus will repeat this prophecy in the New Testament, these verses here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. Somebody's meek, they're kind of lowly. Good tidings, lift them up, encourage them. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's what Jesus came for. He proclaimed liberty to the captive. No, it's really encouraging to a captive. Freedom is possible. Most people live their life captive to the fear of man, one way or another. Man's expectations, man's ideas, man's what makes you valuable. God is whatever. Well, we won't go all there again. But, and to open in prison to them that are bound. If you're in prison, he'll open it up. to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. But you'll be mourning. God came to encourage you out of your mourning. To appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. You know what? Oil is a little bit different than water. Oil just kind of stays with you, you know. Water can kind of roll off, you beat off, but oil, man, it just kind of permeates and it lubricates things also. Oil kind of has a little stronger lasting power. He wants to give you the oil of joy for mourning. You don't have to spend your life in mourning. This is what Jesus Christ came for. And then he says, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I read this verse, all the people that battle depression that call themselves Christians. That's the very nature of the Savior coming, is to remove the spirit of heaviness. And he gives you a covering of praise. You can go on and praise the Lord. You know? Covering of praise, a life that gives glory to God. God's encouraging. His very nature of coming to man that was separated from sin. You know why Jesus came? Because sin is discouraging. So Jesus came to die on the cross, suffer hell in your place, suffer the penalty, the shame, the guilt, all those things in your behalf, so that you don't have to. So you can be free from the discouraging effects of sin. And that's why the whole principle of love of God is to call you out of sin. You know, if you're here today and you've ever been in any type of abusive relationship, God's trying to call you into a loving one. And most of us, some form, we've been in some type of abusive relationship, because all it takes to be abused really is someone to be selfishly take advantage of you. Bobby, you said the fathers of the earth, they punish their children after their own flesh. I'm not quoting that properly. Basically, people that have parents in this world, they discipline their children so they obey them and not give them any trouble. But the Heavenly Father disciplines the children of His to get them out of trouble and to keep them out of trouble. Thank God for that. I'm glad God's taking me to the woodshed if you stay back home. Pull out a switch on me a time or two. I don't know. My mom used to whip me. She said, boy, you ever do that again? No, ma'am. No, mama. In fact, they used to do that in school. Miss Bessie, when I was in first grade, I won't tell you what I did, but I did something wrong. She just whipped me in a circle with a paddle. She said, boy, are you ever going to do that again? No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Whip me in a circle, boy. Thank God for the discipline. God is love. If you're thinking about being unfaithful to God, He is always faithful. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you're at today, God knows, and He's still after you. We said today about everything but the written. God says, I know it all. And think about this. God knows everything written. And you know what He says? Not only do I still want to use you as light to a dark world, I can use you. I can use you. And He said, and since He's verity, He's true, He can bring to pass what He wants to do. He's not kidding when He says that. Amen. He said, be ye clean, the brother vessels of the Lord. That means you can be clean. And since He knows at that moment you think you're the breaking point, He knows how to send just that strength to give you that next step. And He came, I hope you see some of you, He came to encourage you today. He came to pull you away. Because you know, only thing that's ever discouraging, you know, Adam and Eve, Thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you. This is so good. Think back to Adam and Eve. We'll close with this. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and their life finally got restored and better when they came, when He called. First they heard His voice and ran from His voice. They hid themselves, the Bible says. And while, as long as they were hiding, they were in fear. But once they came, God made them a coat of skins and covered them. And found out He'd never leave them nor forsake them. So we're here today. God says, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden. And you can hear the voice of God today and you can do what they did. And you can hide. But why do people hide? They're afraid. Look it up sometime how many times God says, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. And once Adam and Eve stopped fearing and they listened to the voice of God, everything went forward. And they got to know what love is. And by the way, you can know what love is without having to walk down through the dregs of sin of this world. Because just your own thought life is enough to can really show you what, wow, I need the help of God. And God loves you anyway. And as you come unto Him, you'll experience even more of Him being so loyal to you. Because if you're a child of God, you're determined to be holy and consecrated, live just for Jesus Christ, you'll get more persecution, you'll have different difficulties. God will put you through things that will show the reality of His love in you. And again, there's nothing like knowing that you're loved. Because the difference is, when you're away in sin, you're just living in fear. And there's no fruit, there's no love, there's joy, no meekness, no goodness, temperance, and faith. You know what the great thing was? How the Spirit of God, I know, was in the prayer meeting the other night. Because the prayer was, all the people called out. They called out in love toward other people. They're called out with joy, like we heard, expecting, believing God could do something. They called out in faith, also believing God could do something. They called out in meekness. The prayers that people offered up for themselves were for boldness, for the ability to be the witness they need to be. Meekness, that means putting yourself aside. So we saw the love, there was joy, there's meekness, there's goodness, there's temperance. We denied ourselves to be there. Denied our flesh, and we could have been in bed. And God understood what I'm saying. That's, and we're not anything, for those of you who came, some of you probably just had different stuff to do. So if anybody didn't make it, please, this is not. Please, I hope you know me well enough that I'm not trying to exalt anyone above anybody else. I'm trying to say the reality of a life that loves. You may have been praying in your home and experienced the exact same thing. But love, there's nothing like someone loving you, especially when it's the God of creation. Father, I want to say more because I want them to know you more. Father, I don't want to say more just so I can keep talking for the sake of talking. But Father, the joy that's in my heart right now, it's real. And well, Father, I just want everybody to have it. And Father, I pray that your precious creation can come today and really know you and really love you. I pray that those that are saved today would leave here with a new joy, a new life, as they think about your love, like they haven't walked through and just bounced around in a long time. Father, I pray that you make the children of God in this room a bunch of giddy, possessed Christians. And Father, and if we leave her that way, the devil will beware. And Father, if anyone is not saved, show them today why in the world would they run from such a God. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who gives us the privilege to call upon your name in prayer. Take a few moments to meet with the Lord. Talk to him. I trust you've heard his call unto thee. And I